You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
KSL at night.
You're back with us on KSL at night. I'm your host this evening, Greg Skordis, alongside Adam Gardner, and we are talking about housing. And if you recall, Adam, our legislature over the last at least several sessions, that's the word I'm thinking of, have been trying to address the housing problem in Utah. And housing prices have gone through the roof here in Utah over the last couple of years. And so affordable housing has been at the forefront of a lot of people's attention. How are we going to get, especially the first-time home buyers, into a home? And this week, our governor was traveling around the state and talking to some leaders about what we can do to increase that. He spoke at a luncheon in St. George, urged contractors to build more starter homes costing less than $300,000. Some local leaders have been critical of that. It's frightening, Adam, that starter homes are now $300,000. I mean, you're a lot younger than me, but my first home cost me something like $50,000.
My first home was in South Ogden. And it was only probably 11 or 12 years ago, cost me $125,000.
Yeah, there you go.
And that was my starter home.
Now we're trying to build starter homes for less than $300,000, and we're having a hard time doing that. To help us break that down, we're happy to have with us this evening Steve Waltrip, Utah Senior Advisor for Housing Strategy and Innovation. Steve, thank you for joining us this evening on KSL at Night.
A pleasure to be here with you guys.
And can you talk to our listeners about Governor Cox's housing strategy? What's he talking about, and what is it that he's trying to push on these local leaders?
Yeah, I think, you know, even going back to what you guys were saying at the very beginning, what you were saying, Greg, is, you know, housing prices in the last about 15 years, you used to be able to take the median income and multiply it by 3, and that would be the cost of a home. And that's our financing system. Everything was based on kind of that ratio. It allowed us to you know, structure everything that way. Over the last several years, it's now 6.4 times the median income to the median home price. So our affordability has less, you know, is less than half of what it used to be. And the impact of that is, you know, about 90% of our renters couldn't even afford, you know, can't afford to buy a house. If everybody in the state was forced to get out of their house and rebuy it right now, about 70% of the people couldn't even buy their own house anymore.
Count me in that group. I mean, really,
that's terrifying.
Houses have gone through the charts, and I look at what people are saying our house is worth, and I think, good thing I bought it when I did.
I think one thing that's important to recognize here is, you know, the rhetoric coming out of the legislature, especially legislative leadership, Governor Cox has been pretty strong. I don't want to say against cities, but he's going into local municipalities and counties and saying, you guys are making lots too big. You need to reduce that size. We need to have smaller houses, and we need to build more per
acre. Affordable houses, right.
More affordable houses per acre. Is the governor getting some pushback on that, Steve?
Well, I think in a vacuum, if that's the only discussion, then yeah, that's causing a little bit of concern at the city level, because they're saying, well, gee, you know, are we just going to create unwanted density? Are we creating more renters? Are we, you know, are we hurting ourselves by doing density in that way? And I think part of my job is to carry the governor's message out there, which is, yeah, we need more starter homes, but we need homes that are attainable for people to own. And so the legislation that's been passed is kind of centered and focused around ownership opportunities and creating those opportunities for first-time home buyers.
Can you walk us? Sorry about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I interrupted you. Can you walk us through some of that legislation and how that's structured?
Yeah, you bet. So HB 572 was kind of the signature piece of that effort, where we set aside $300 million in kind of a set aside fund at the treasurer's office, and developers can access and builders can access that funding through their lenders at a reduced interest rate. So the net interest rate to the development community would be about 6.8, 6.9% right now. the financing entities, the banks and the credit unions would be able to get it at 3.4%, 3.3%. But in order to obtain that financing, they have to build what's called a qualified project. And a qualified project requires them to build 60% of whatever it is they're obtaining the financing for as owner-occupied with a deed restriction for owner-occupancy and also for sale at a specified price. And the target price statewide is about $350,000 for a single-family detached home. And it varies by county, and, you know, there's some variation there by county and by, you know, whether it's a detached home, a townhome, or a condo, but that's the goal. And so from the city standpoint, you know, they're going to have to give some additional density in order to get the pricing to that point, because the land price really drives a lot of the financial, you know, calculus on what a home costs. And so we have to build smaller lots, but on those smaller lots, we also have to build smaller homes. And those smaller homes are less profitable for builders to build. That's why they haven't been building them. And so we're requiring them, in order to get this financing, to not only deed restrict them, but also to build something that is less profitable in order to provide ownership opportunities. And so the cities are getting, you know, opportunities for their teachers and their firefighters and their nurses and their, you know, public servants, all of those people to obtain stable home ownership in their community, which is a huge net benefit. And then in that overall development, you know, you've got 60% that are at this fixed price rate and are deed restricted. The other 40% can be whatever the city wants them to be. And so what you'll end up with is our mixed income communities, mixed lot sizes, you know, really creating a sense of community in these places where somebody can grow from stage one to stage two to stage three in their lives without having to move, you know, across sure. town. And so that's the benefit to the cities that they're seeing from this. And it's actually been very well received, you know, when we kind of paint that complete picture.
That's really interesting, Steve. I wonder, we hear a lot about new homes. So my first house was built in 1955.
Not a new home.
It was an old house. And my second house was built in 1975. I built new for my third house. So when I had my first home, it was really old. And I moved in and I fixed it up and did what I could to make it nice. So I could sell it for more money. Is there any type of incentive outside of a new home, a new construction, for young couples or first-time home buyers to move into existing homes that they can fix up?
It's a great question, and that's something that we're working on in this interim. You know, this initiative is really centered around more production, because our issue right now in the state and in the country is supply. We simply don't have enough homes. We don't have enough places for people to live. In Utah right now, we've got somewhere between a 35 and a 40,000-unit deficit, meaning we have 35 or 40,000 more households than we have places for those people to live. So, you know, you ask if you go and ask a group how many people have kids living in their basement or know someone who is, about 60% of the hands will go up. And that's the result of both higher pricing but also this supply constraint. So the reason we're focusing right now, or the initial focus is on new construction, is because we just need more. In order for that supply and demand to balance out and pricing to kind of stabilize, we have to just create more opportunities, more homes. The second part of that is what you're talking about, which is going into our legacy cities and figuring out how to make those ownership opportunities available again in, you know, what are naturally occurring affordable, you know, homes. But we've largely lost those to renter, you know, to renting, you know, in investment. And we have to recapture that in our inner cities. And that's something we're working very diligently on this interim to bring forward for next session.
That makes a lot of sense. Steve, thank you for joining us this evening.
And when we come back after the break, let's go up to Boise, Idaho, and see what's happening with the Chad Daybell trial.
911, what's your emergency?
They kidnapped my son.
What would you do if your child disappeared and someone you trusted was responsible?
We thought he cared for McKay, when in fact he didn't care for anyone.
Listen to Ransom now at ransompodcast.com.